May be seated. I asked during that last song before you had the greeting, if anybody could see the cobweb. I was sitting there, just this cobweb was reflecting from here all the way back to the wall. So that's a pretty big spider. So I just went up and swiped it. I was going to blame whoever cleaned this week, and then I remembered it was me. But it was just, I guess, the way the light was reflecting. Be in prayer this week. It's not a big prayer request like we have with Nancy and Seneca and all that, but our TVs were supposed to be here 3 weeks ago. They're supposed to be delivered. Ron asked me, it's either the 4th or the 6th. They wrote last week and said it will be the 4th to drop off and then the 6th for mounting. And I told him, I said, we don't need them dropped off 2 days early. There's no sense making a trip all the way out here. So I'm not sure whether it's going to be the 4th or the 6th, but Lord willing, if Ron can get these all switched over from this system onto the TVs, we'll have the TVs working and functioning next week. That's if everything goes well. But that is a prayer request. So if you have your notes, turn them over, and you'll see we're starting a new series on biblical prophecy. I asked a couple months ago while we're in our last series, we talked about being steadfast in a messed up world, living a steadfast faith in a messed up world. Finished that up last week. But I had asked a couple months ago if you had any ideas or suggestions that you'd like to see us do for some sermons. And I read a whole list of things that I had as a possibility. And some people came up and said, anything on that list is good. A couple of other people made some suggestions. But I said, write them down because I would forget. Max did get back to me. Matter of fact, he texted me with two or three suggestions, and this is one of them. He talked about wanting to hear about prophecy then and now. So I did a series about 5 years ago on prophecy, and we're going to use some of that, but I'm going to update it for today because even just talking about this one this morning, things have changed since 2017 or 2018 when I did that. So let's commit to this time to the Lord. Father, again, we thank you for multitude of reasons that we can praise you, 10,000 or more. Lord, if we were to sit and think and list, we have so much to be grateful for. And Lord, we do know, as the first song said, that you are going to be coming back. You're coming back again. And that's what we're talking about this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless our topic. Lord, there might be some here who disagree, and that's fine. As we go through prophecy, that's certainly understandable. But we pray, Lord, that you would instruct us and prepare us and motivate us to be a light in a lost world. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I did this series 5 or 6 years ago, or similar series 5 or 6 years ago, but we did ask the question then, is America going to be around for the end times? And as we talk about this, I want you to be careful that you don't go looking so far ahead and thinking about the rapture that you miss what God's doing in our world today. We mentioned this morning the Haws, 3,500 to 5,000 young people coming out for Bible study and just youth program. That's amazing. We tend to forget what God's doing here in America. Last year, probably about this time, with that movement that was in Kentucky that went on for weeks of just praising the Lord, and God was doing something in hearts and lives, and people, different preachers wanted to go and preach at it. I'm trying to think, it wasn't David Jeremiah, it was, who did I say, the guy from out in California who wrote The Purpose Driven Church. He called him and said, I want to come out and preach, and they said, no. We don't want a preacher. We want to see God do this movement. So supposedly thousands of young people, and that went on for several weeks of just constant praise to the Lord. Have you heard about what happened at the University of Auburn last week? By the way, Auburn almost pulled off an upset yesterday against the number one team, Georgia. And I was watching that game and thinking, I wonder if God's blessing Auburn because of what was happening down at the school. But they had over 200 students baptized last week. And the football coach and the governor are taking heat for allowing that to happen. But God is working. So as we go through this series and we talk about the rapture today, don't go, again, looking so far up that you miss what God's doing here. The old quote is, don't be so heavenly minded that you have no earthly good. Don't do that. Okay? You can be excited. You can be prepared. And you can be burdened for what's going on around us. leading up to the rapture, and we're talking about this in our Bible study at Pinnacle Towers, just in Revelation, just started Revelation chapter 5 Friday, and we're finished chapter 5. We're moving now this Thursday into the chapter 6 where the judgment begins. But the ladies there have been so excited about what God is doing and what he promises to do. But I want you to imagine this morning the morning of the rapture. All right, think a few minutes about the terror of the questioning, the moments, the hours, and the days following the rapture of the church. People all over the world are going to be doing business like normal. They're going to be having parties. They're going to be going to work. They're going to be doing their job. They'll be reading. They'll be watching television. They'll be spending time with their family, just like they've done all their entire lives. Everything is going to look normal. And in some places in our world, it's going to go on completely as normal because there are very, very, very few believers. We talk about that quite often in the prayer time of the persecuted church, that maybe there's only two or three believers in an entire village or town. So in places like that, life will go on as normal. But imagine in America, things going on the morning of the rapture. Imagine being in an Uber or being on a plane or being in a bus traveling down I-95 and suddenly your driver and several passengers are just taken. What's going to happen? I think we can assume what's going to happen, but people all around the world are going to have this realization that people are gone. They've just vanished. I thought about what was I thinking about? Oh, about 9/12. Remember, after 9/11, the day after 9/12, both of my boys had paper routes. And I remember opening the bundles with them that morning, and all over the pictures, over the front page, were pictures of the Twin Towers, of the Pentagon, and were all these things about we were attacked. They assumed at that point, now 24 hours later, not quite 24 hours later, but the pictures were all about 9/11. And there were all these ideas of what possibly happened. There were pictures and there were interviews with some of the people, but we remember hearing about that. But imagine the morning of the rapture. Imagine it being if it happened on a Sunday morning. Imagine, and I can picture believers driving into the church they've always worshipped in and getting there, or not believers, but church people who've had this spiritual game with the Lord all their life. They've never quite given their life to Christ. And they walk into church expecting to see everybody, and maybe a couple of other people there, and they come and sit in their pews, and they realize no one else is there. And imagine the realization all of a sudden that, man, I've heard about this rapture. I've heard about what Christ is going to do, and now it's real. I have no other chance. Imagine, again, the terror of what's going to be happening that morning. A shock and an awful realization that God's word is accurate. God's word is true. Dr. David Jeremiah, which we're going to be looking at here at the end, said this. He said, in today's world, one missing person can grip the nation. What about a billion? What will people think? What panic will they feel? What theories will they embrace? So our question again, there's this great debate amongst pastors, among theologians, among Christians. Is the church going to be here? Or, I mean, is America going to be here? And the church won't be, the real church. But will America have a role in the end times? There's messages on that. There's, again, different opinions as to whether it will be or not. Some people say, yes, America's still going to have a place because biblical prophecy talks about that. Others say, no, America won't be because there is no prophecy about that. So, again, we're going to look at a couple here this morning, which we looked at before. But Billy Graham once said, and I've used this quote a number of times, if God doesn't punish America, he owes an apology to who? Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember hearing him say that years ago. If God doesn't punish America, he owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. Whether that's true or not, and again, that's Billy Graham's thought, it certainly sounds logical. But if I were to ask you this morning, do you believe America is going to be a power in the end times, in the scriptural times, you might say yes. But I believe, again, my own personal belief is the only reason America's here today is for two reasons. I believe we have a good number of Christians, a good number of believers. Perhaps not as many now as China or some of these Muslim countries that God is working in, and the numbers seem to be shrinking. And then you hear this stuff about Kentucky and 200 young people coming to Christ, and I get so tired of hearing, even when I was a youth pastor, had adults say, well, this generation is hopeless. No, this generation is searching, and they need to see a reality lived out among the older people. But God is doing this work. So we have this number of believers. But the second reason, and no matter what you think of Donald Trump, America's friendship with Israel is the second reason. I believe those are the only two reasons why God is blessing and continuing to allow America to go on. Donald Trump did make Jerusalem the capital, and he did that with all kinds of heat against him and people saying, oh, Israel doesn't deserve that. But it's because America has been a friend to Israel. I believe, in my opinion, and I'm sure I can find some theologians who agree with me, but those are the two reasons that God continues to bless America. If we ever turn our back on Israel, which we hear people threatening to do all the time, I believe that's the beginning of the end. But as long as we do that, God will continue to bless us. But as I said, we looked at this prophecy series. I think on my computer I found 18 messages, and I don't expect you to remember because I don't remember having 18 messages. But we're going to go through a number of those, again, change them. But at our last time, we did look, the first message in that series was, will America be around in the end times? And these are the things we looked at. And we said that we explained the reasons why these scriptures did not mean America, okay? So I have these in your notes, and you can look them up on your own, but Isaiah 18:2 talks about this powerful people, this powerful nation, and there's preachers and teachers and some theologians who talk about that being America because we are a powerful nation. But if you read through that, you realize that's talking about Cush or Ethiopia, not the United States. In Ezekiel 18 and 19, it talks about this invading nation. And again, people believe and teach that that's the United States. It's not. It's speaking about Russia. Number three, the wings of an eagle, and that's Revelation 12. And some people teach that the eagle is our symbol, and that's got to be speaking about the United States. Well, it has nothing to do with the United States. It's God, if you were to read that chapter, the wings of an eagle, speaking about God coming and bringing about judgment, not the United States. Number four was corrupt Babylon in Revelation chapter 18. And they talk about the United States being powerful like Babylon was. And now with all the corruption that we see in our country, it's got to be speaking about the United States. It's not. It's speaking about a Gentile world empire, not the United States. And then number four, in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8, talking about horns, and that's how I put it in the series, in their message, horns but not crowns, or but an absence of crowns. And they were talking about the wickedness of that country with the horns, or that nation, but not having a king. And since America has a president and we don't wear a crown, that's got to be talking about America. Well, I have in your notes, that's talking about the four kingdoms that ended with Rome, Babylon, Persia, Greek, and Rome. So again, we went through all that in that first series 6 or 7 years ago. If you want more fill-in-the-blanks type stuff, I'll be glad to get that to you. But we know that these verses that we just looked at in those 5 points, they're talking about nations in Egypt, Europe, Asia, but it's not talking about the United States. And again, we're not going to develop that any longer. but theologians who I agree with say that all those nations up there, or at least in your notes, all had some kind of a repressive and corrupt form of government. The United States came along and changed that, right? The United States is a democracy, and we serve, the government serves the people, at least we used to. But we don't believe that America has a role in the end days. Now, again, I have these in your notes, but you can look on these. Most nations are going to cease to exist at that point. Let me just read Isaiah chapter 34. I have Jeremiah 30:11 and 46 there. But let me just read Isaiah 34:2-3. It says, "For the Lord is enraged against all the nations and furious against all their host. He has devoted them to destruction, has given them over for slaughter. Their slain will be cast out, and the stench of their corpses shall rise, and the mountains shall flow with their blood." So, again, this is what theologians that I agree with teach, okay? So most nations are going to cease to be around, and most, again, scholars give two reasons. I have these in your notes. The first reason that they believe America is going to collapse and not be here at the end times is our economic catastrophe that's going to result in our lack of control over our debt. I think it was Newsmax I had on real quickly the other day. I don't know if any of you saw it, but behind them they were talking about our national debt, and it's like $100,000 per second. The numbers are just spinning. Years ago, I went to the Koch Museum in Atlanta, and they had a similar digital thing up saying about the number of Cokes that are being drank around the world at that moment, and it's billions and billions since Cokes began its thing. And I thought that was impressive, but if you want to see something that's impressive to watch but not impressive when you think about it, is the trillions of dollars that are just spinning out of control with America's debt. Theologians say our God in America is the dollar, and one day God might just remove that dollar to cause us to look to him. So an economic catastrophe, we certainly see it happening. It's all around us, and that could be God's way of bringing America to its knees. The second is when Russia, in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, launches this attack against Israel. It's prophesied in the scripture. Many believe, and again, I never thought this through until I was reading this, but many believe that in order for Russia to attack Israel as it's prophesied, America's got to be removed from the scene. Because America is the only nation right now that would be willing to go and save and attack Israel's attackers. So many believe that there's going to be a preemptive strike by Russia that's either going to wipe out America or incapacitate it so that we are no longer able to jump in and come to Israel's rescue. So those two reasons, many believe that America will cease to exist. Again, at least cease to exist in as a world power. But as I read this week, they talked about Russia is more dangerous today in the world than ever before, even before the Soviet collapse. And the reason they said the increased danger is rooted in the instability of the government. Think about that for a moment. We think, well, you know, Russia's not suffering with instability. Think about what's happened. We're watching this right now. As I thought about this, as I prepared this message, what's happening with Ukraine? When Russia attacked Ukraine, people thought it was going to be over like that, right? People believed that Russia was just way too powerful to have this tiny country of Ukraine defend themselves. But what's going to be a year and a half, almost 2 years? And America's giving much more money than what maybe we should be going to them. But again, that's just causing instability. People thought that Russia was going to come in and do this, but it hasn't happened. And that's causing an even greater instability over there. Listen to what they say. At this time, after this happens, after Russia does something to the United States and attacks Israel, at this time, the dynamic and charismatic political personality empowered by Satan will come forward and rally the world to support his goals of world peace, and the world will be captured by him in Revelation 13. So with America out of the way, Israel can be attacked by Russia, and then that leads to the Antichrist. So all this is happening. It's being set up right in front of our eyes. We're seeing this instability of Russia, and I don't know if it's going to be a nuclear attack or what. We won't be here to experience it, but that could be what's happening here, preparing us for America to be gone. The second reason that people give is America's squandered blessings. Now, just think for a moment, this great number that I put up here, the multitude of blessings that America has had throughout our history. We have the completed Word of God. We have multiple versions of the Bible when so many people around the world don't even have a verse in their hand. We have great blessings that God has given us. We have great health care. We have military and law enforcement that protect us, as we prayed earlier. But God has given us so much. How can we continue as a nation to turn our backs on God? And that's the second reason many people believe that America is not going to be here. We just aren't thankful for what God has given to us, what God has blessed us with. So as you look in your notes there, I put in there, Dr. David Jeremiah has just written a new book. And it just slipped my head. I think that The Coming Rapture, it's not called The Coming Rapture, but anyway, I've been getting a lot of information about it. I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to getting it. But he's written this, and this is not, I don't think it's in the book, but this is some things that he said why America, or why God may turn his back on America. The first one is the national sin of ingratitude. The national sin of ingratitude. We see in the Old Testament, Joshua and Judges and some of those other places, Israel cycled through this whole thing of rebellion, retribution. God paid them back. They repented of their sin, and then they were restored by God. It happened 13 times. I didn't count that. I did find that, David Jeremiah. I wanted to go back and count that this week, but it seemed like a whole lot more than 13 times to me. But he's probably right. But they went through this cycle of 13 times of getting right with God and God forgiving them and restoring them back. Remember the whole thing with the kings. They went through that with the judges. A judge would die or a king would die, and it would be a godly king for a while, and then they'd be fine, and then they would fall away, and God continued to restore them. But if you want to turn back, if you want to turn your Bibles, you don't have to, but Jeremiah chapter 2 is where we're going to be the rest of the time. But Jeremiah chapter 2, I'm in Isaiah. Let me go back to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord.'" What we see here is they just became callous towards God's blessing. They weren't grateful for all that God had done for them. And I believe it would be really good for America and believers in churches and Christians today to take heed to Jeremiah's warning that we need to be grateful, that we need to be thankful. One of the things we try to do in our prayer meeting is start off with a little time of praise. Just being grateful to God for what he's given to us. See, the nation of Israel didn't do that, and they suffered the consequences. And I just want to ask you, do you see ingratitude in our world? Do we see it? Where do we see it? We see it all the time on TV, right? We have this idea of we expect more, we deserve more. No one really is thankful for God's blessings. And I told you, I have my prayer sheet, and one of the things I have for the word of Acts is how I pray through adoration, confession, thanksgiving. Adoration, I just praise God for his presence, for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, and we take that so often for granted. We take for granted. I appreciate Nancy's text message. I should have brought my phone because I'm not going to remember it word for word. But Nancy just said something about, "I am so grateful how God is using my sister to pray for me, to open up the door for me to talk to her about Christ and prayer." A sister who doesn't believe in prayer prayed for her sister in her successful surgery. But Nancy was thankful for that. We need to be looking for God's blessings. We take so much for granted. We came in this morning, and I thought, oh, people are going to complain. It's kind of chilly out, but the heat was on. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that we can just come in and turn the switch on and know that the lights are going to light up most of the time? I had to call Ron the other day. I came in to put the songs on the computer, and I couldn't get it to come on. And I wrote to him. He said, well, check the breaker. I said, I looked at the breaker. He goes, you're going to have to get underneath the soundboard and try to trace the wire. And I'm thinking, oh, that's all I need to do. Ron knows the wires. It would have been like having Aaron come help me. We would have made a mess of it. I think, Lord, don't let me unplug something and mess it up completely. So I did pull the wire, and somehow it worked Wednesday night for prayer meeting, and I wasn't in at all on Thursday in here, but Friday it didn't work. So I traced it, and the whole thing had come unplugged out of the main thing. I have no idea how that happened. But when I got it plugged back in and it came back on, everything, the sound came on, I thought, Lord, thank you. We miss little things like that, don't we? But we see ingratitude everywhere. And I really appreciate Dr. Jeremiah's input on that. It's a great comparison, saying the national sin of ingratitude. The second is the national sin of idolatry. Again, in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? Can you imagine the grief that God is sharing in that? Listen to it. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me? I gave you everything. I blessed you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Look at all the many, many blessings. We talk about America being blessed. Israel was blessed. All the things I've done for you. What wrong did you find in me that you're going after this worthless stuff? Talking about idolatry. God gives us cutting accusation of Israel, and I believe he could ask the same thing about America today. What wrong did you find in me? You were founded as a Christian nation. You have all these things going for you. What happened? He said this, Dr. Jeremiah says, chaos, factions, and economic struggles have replaced God's peace and provision because we have pushed him from the public square to the periphery of our nation's life. Isn't that a great description? We are seeking after things that are not godly. The church in America has allowed the culture to dictate what we do rather than dictate to the culture the word of God. Christ calls us the light of the world in Matthew chapter 5, but he also warned in Revelation that he can remove our lampstand. And that's talking about our influence. Some people believe it's talking about the pastor as well, because we're one of the elders, and it's in Revelation 4, or in 2 and 3, but also chapter 4. But if we stray far from Christ and continue to stray and we don't repent, that's what's going to happen. God is going to judge. God is going to condemn. And I don't think we could begin to list this morning, even if I let each one of us raise your hand two times, I don't think we could begin to replay or to list the things that we've allowed to replace God in our nation and in our lives. Society has let sex, drugs, money, violence, revenge, stepping on the guy to get ahead, all those things that we allow have allowed to replace God in our lives and in our nation. So we had first the sin of ingratitude, second the sin of idolatry, and then third, the national sin of indifference. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 6, God said this to the nation. He said, after he just said, what did you find wrong with me? In verse 6, he said, they did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that none passes through, where no man dwells? You see, the nation of Israel had been so blessed, and I think Dr. Jeremiah calls it, the nation had been awash in the riches of God's abundance. And he said they assumed that these blessings would continue no matter what they did. No matter how they sinned, no matter where they turned, no matter what they chased after, God was going to bless them. And they became indifferent to God's blessing. Someone said this, contemporary Christianity reflects similar attitudes. Believers often form closer friendships with the world than they do with God. That's a sad, true picture of what America has done. We're indifferent. I wrote down some other eyes that I think, not that Dr. Jeremiah made a mistake, but these are some other eyes that I put in. The national sin of being idealistic. Idealism. Idealism says this. It forms ideas and lives under their influence. Do we see that around us? Man, we are an idealistic nation. Some other ones, we're immature, we're immoral, we're independent. And I put my last one, we're idiotic. We just don't see God's hand. We don't appreciate God's blessings. Today, and again, this isn't from Dr. Jeremiah, this is just, today we see an indifference to biblical principles. God's presence, God's provision, God's protection on us. We no longer see how our nation has fallen from its founding. And not only our founding, but how far we've founded or fallen from the Word of God. We do not care about it. We are indifferent to it. And I often used to say this to my mom, or my mom would say this, and I just have thought about this a lot. Do you think our founding fathers, if George Washington and people back, you know, Ben Franklin or Abraham Lincoln or some of those people could come back today, do you think they'd recognize America as America? Wouldn't it be sad to them? They would kill them. If they came back and saw what America is doing today. My challenge to you as we come to the communion table here in a moment is to take the challenge that we've had over these last month and a half of being that light, of being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because God's calling on us is to do that. And we closed last week with 2 Timothy, was it chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 2? Can't remember. Anyway, when Paul said we need to love his appearing. Do we love his appearing? I closed with that verse last week, knowing that we're going to be talking, believing we're going to be talking about this week. But are you ready? Are you watching? Are you telling others about the coming Savior? The national sins we need to repent of. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7 comes to mind is when my people humble themselves and turn from their sin and then seek his face. We'll seek his face, but we don't like to turn from our sin. The national sin of indifference, the national sin of that Dr. Jeremiah has spoken about, we need to repent of as a nation. And we need to, I don't believe we're going to be here in the end times, we'll be a world power in the end times, unless Christ were to come back today. But even today, we're not the power we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We need to repent and trust the Lord that we can, or tell the Lord that we want to be a light. We want to see his soon return. But man, we have so many people who still need to hear. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for your blessings to us. Lord, we do confess our sin of indifference. Lord, our immaturity. Lord, our ingratitude. Lord, so many things that our nation has made idols of. Lord, we need to repent. And I pray that it would start with your children right here today. Lord, as we look at our own lives, help us to fall on our knees and on our faces in repentance for allowing the stuff of the world to influence us too much, allowing the love of the world to replace our love for Christ. The idea sometimes that this is our home when we really are just passing through, and we do look forward to the rapture. But Lord, help us to be grieved when we think about what those who remain, maybe it's family members, maybe it's someone within our own home right now, who if you were to return today, they would be facing that tremendous wrath poured out on the world. Lord, help us to reach as many as we can. In Jesus' name, amen.